assigned to them.
Oh, so the first quarter bill was like based on last year.
Right, this was your fourth quarter usage, so they didn't apply the additional fee.
Oh, okay.
So because the bill didn't go up, even though this notice was on the back warning people that it was going to go up, they didn't see the dollar amount go up. And so I don't know that folks have actually noticed.
Oh, so they bill in arrears. So what is their what is their accounting year? Is it April 1st to March?
Well, based on the ads that they put in the paper, I believe it's a regular fiscal year.
Okay. Fiscal year.
So it's a fiscal year.
It's a regular.
Even though they bill in arrears.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, this letter right here basically blames us for all this.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah.
Not only does it blame us.
The biggest problem I have is that they pleaded their whole case on their own letter. There's two sides to every story. I said it statewide.
Well, not only does it appear to blame us, it appears to say that we consented.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And that is certainly not accurate information.
I think maybe we should post a letter that we weren't going to be charged for the fire hydrants on our site.
I mean, this letter, the multiple letters that we've sent them. This set right here really
aggravates.
Just post them
on the website. Yep.
This one right here really aggravates.
Because this makes us look bad to our own constituents.
Yeah.
And that was the intent of it. And
indeed, it is. Very clearly.
I want to give them 30 days to answer our questions or we go to the PUC. I'm done messing around with the water company.
I mean,
I think that, you know,
I wouldn't even give them 30 days.
There's a certain level of lack of accountability. You know, if we had constituents asking us how we were going to be spending money from a special assessment that we were putting on them, we would have a responsibility to answer that question.
Correct.
And they don't seem to feel the need to do that. We would have a responsibility to explain how we calculated that amount of money.
Correct.
And what is going to be done with that money. And they don't seem to see the need to do that. Whether or not they're going to keep that money in a separate fund. You know, if the authority intends to hold back whatever additional money over the cost of maintaining the hydrants they collect through this fee assessment and set it aside for the next time they need to replace the hydrants, that should be disclosed. If they are intending to reimburse themselves for the legal expenses they've incurred, it's not okay for them to go and do that and label it this way.
No.
And I'm concerned based on the fact that that's what they told us was their reason for doing this in advance, that that's their intent. And I don't think that that's appropriate.
I don't think it's appropriate either. We never told them to hire an attorney.
More stuff to throw away over here.
It wouldn't be appropriate for us to comment
it either
way. We
couldn't do it ourselves.
But if they wanted to recoup that and put it on their bill as an environmental protection assessment, you know, and develop themselves a fee, fine. But to label it as hydrant protection, unless they're actually going to use it for the hydrant protection, then I don't think it's appropriate. And I think that we need to hold them accountable.
I mean, these are not...
And we need for them to answer the questions about how they calculated the amounts and what they intend to do with the money that they're generating through this fee.
I mean, the questions that were asked, the rationale for the fire protection surcharge and the operating budget, actual cost incurred by the authority for maintenance of hydrants for 2023, 2024, 2025, the estimated cost of maintenance for 2026, whether they still intend to turn water off as set forth in the original letter in the event of non-payment of the fire protection surcharge, a copy of the agreement allowing the authority to install the hydrants within the township. We've asked for that.
We've asked for that from day one,
which under their own rules, it requires the township to sign off on an agreement. And source of funds that were used for the expansion of the authority's service. and an explanation as to the warehouse expense portion of their budget, and whether they notified DEP or the PUC of their intent to terminate service for non-payment of hydrant fees.
And again, going into this sewer expansion project, where that same authority has...
It should take all 15 minutes to find the answers to those questions.
Has responsibility for, you know, lines that are going to flow through the township that they are telling us now we will bear no responsibility for, but that's what they told us about the hydrants.
Well, that's what the Act 537 plan says.
And then what does the 537 plan? That they're going to pay the responsibility.
537 yeah. plan says that we have no responsibility.
Their 537.
Yes.
That they can change whenever they wanted to.
Once it has to be approved.
Has to be approved by DEP, yeah.
Well, being we were told originally that the hydrant fees would be implemented because of the cost that they, their expenses for legal fees, which was what we were told.
Yeah.
That should be across the board. That shouldn't be just laid on Milford Township.
Right.
So by labeling it fire hydrants, they're attacking Milford Township for the additional.
No.
To correct that, the reason that they're putting it the way that they are is because when they instituted the fire hydrant fees, the borough paid the borough portion.
Right.
Because every resident in the borough is on the water system, they don't have the same situation we have, correct, where a very small number of residents in the township are actually receiving that service. So the borough paid the fees for the borough's portion, and that's why they're doing. Now, it seemed very clear in that letter
that Westfall
didn't pay either. And I haven't heard anything about Westfall getting billed.
In arrears.
Right. So I
it's called uniform rate.
I think that putting our letter, the letter that Tony was just referencing, to them on our website is probably a good idea.
Yeah.
And I think that we perhaps should invite them to come to a workshop and respond to our inquiries. And let them know that, you know, we are contemplating, you know, further action via contacting the PUC if they can't.
I wouldn't say just PUC.
Respond.
We're contemplating further action in the event that we do not get response to our, because there's other actions that can be taken, which we'll talk about.
Well, I also have the concern of if they're collecting this money, if they've shifted to collecting this money from the users, which is what we told them to do, then why are they still billing the township?
Right.
Right.
We're still getting bills.
So
are they trying to collect it twice?
I'm sorry. I still stand on. We shouldn't be getting billed at all with what everything happened in the past. They want to ignore it. They want to ignore it, and that's all there is to it. Mm-hmm.
Well, again, the accountability, you know, is an issue. And the fact that we have no representation,
right,
no appointment authority on a board that's providing service in our community, and we have no representation there as to how the rates are being set and how these fees are being implemented, is a part of the problem. And if this was an authority that was expanded to be a multi-municipal authority, I believe that part of that action would have included obtaining representation, and that has not happened. So I do think that we need to gently remind them that we're being polite in requesting that they do the right thing and answer the questions that we have a responsibility to our constituents to obtain. And if they're not going to, then we're going to have to take further action to get those answers provided. I don't want to see any layer of added expense that's unnecessary. And I feel like the Water Authority is dragging us in that direction, whether we like it or not. And I really don't understand that behavior.
Pandora's box.
Yes.
That's my fear, and that's why I didn't rush to follow up with the PUC. You know, when we talked about the fire department asking for an ordinance for, you know, finding people when we're having a fire, you know, a no fire burn ban, we didn't want to do that because finding people isn't really the goal that we're looking for.
No.
And
no.
And I feel the same about this, that, you know, what we're trying to get is, you know, reasonable, responsible behavior. And I just don't think that, you know, we seem to be talking to reasonable people.
It seems pretty clear in the letter that you indicated was on the back of the bill.
Mm-hmm.
It seems pretty clear that Westfall, Dingman have not paid the fire hydrant fees. But they're not being billed back fees. We're the only municipality that's being billed back fees. Unless I'm reading it wrong.
Yeah.
Question.
Yes, Bill.
Why don't the solicitors for the Milford Township and for the Water Authority get together and have a little discussion about what the hell is going on here?
That's what the suggestion was, yes.
Well, they have been corresponding directly.
We're being way too polite here on what's going on.
I don't know that we're being polite. I think we're documenting our concerns and documenting the fact that the township isn't responsible for this bill to protect the township's taxpayers from, you know, from the ramifications of this unpaid bill, right? And I think the problem is if the PUC does get involved, this could turn out to be a much more expensive endeavor than I think any of us
anybody wants
to see happening, right? And so, but we have a limited opportunity. I think that there's one other avenue we haven't explored, and that is there is a body that the Water Authority is responsible to provide an accounting to and is responsible through the appointment power to, and that's the Borough Council. We haven't asked the Borough to intervene. Did we copy the Borough on our letter?
No, the Authority is an independent body.
But all of the appointments from
that's
the Authority are made
by the
through
borough.
The Borough Council.
That's and, the only and thing, no.
That's it.
That has to be the folks that are making the decision whether to answer us or not. I mean, they are the folks that made the decision about how to implement these fees. So I do think that maybe we should copy the Borough Council on future.
I mean, I can send a copy
future.
To the Borough Secretary of the questions, but...
Point of information. Yeah. I listened to the Borough Council, and Fred can back me up on this on a couple of items. The Borough Council is planning on having the Westfall sewer manage the system,
mm-hmm.
not the Water Authority.
Correct.
The Westfall Authority is going to manage the system.
Guess they're going to be amending that 537 again.
Right, that's not what it says in the 537 plan.
Well, that's what they were talking about last night.
Guess they're going to amend it.
And they're going to have to submit a new plan.
They have to amend it.
Don't you amend it?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I can you tell us more about what explanation they gave for that change?
Fred, you're
yeah, so, so they had Scott and Scott's last name. Nice guy. Scott Sheldon. And the discussion centered around that the Milford Water Authority did not have the expertise to manage any sort of sewage maintenance or anything to do with that. So they approached the Westfall Water Authority and Sewer Authority, who I guess have done this for a living for a while, and the decision is that Milford Water Authority is going to take a step back, and Westfall would be running this system from a maintenance and upgrade standpoint, which to me raises all sorts of questions as to billing not being the least of it. It just seems like it's like they're throwing gears in their own sands and they may never get to having a sewer system. So I don't know.
Very interesting. Thank you for that update.
Thank you,
gentlemen.
Very much, guys. That's a very interesting step.
Yes, it is.
For the Water Authority.
Yep.
Thank you. I got something else too, but I'll wait.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
No, it's not pertaining to the sewer.
That's all right.
Okay.
Fred, you want to tell him?
Well, which part was that, Bill?
The farmer's market.
Oh, the farmer's market. Geez, that's turned into a huge disaster thanks to the Pike County commissioners. So I thought the head of the farmers market was going to be joining you guys for your meeting tonight, because they did not get their lease renewed at the location that they've had for the last 3 years, which was at the county offices, which was perfect. It was a perfect location. Downtown, a lot of foot traffic to a lot of businesses. And the two of the three commissioners decided that this was presenting unfair competition because it was not strictly a farmer's market. There were other vendors there. And without public discussion, without giving a heads up to the farmer's market folks, when they resubmitted for their lease for this year, they were told, nope, you're out. So they're scrambling. And a couple of the two most likely places that they came up with was, one was the Atlantic Health Facility in the borough, which I think is going to be difficult to get approval for. But also the other place was Key Food, which Junior has said he would be willing to allow them to use for the farmer's market. Now, obviously, now that entails, so as far as having it on the Pike County property, that's done. It's not going to happen. That was voted on. They're never going back. So what this does then is it means that you would have to decide, would you be willing to do, a special use permit for allowing the farmer's market at Key Food. So I'm surprised nobody's there tonight from the farmer's market. I thought they would be.
I think folks don't have a sense yet that our meeting schedule has changed to Wednesdays on these Monday holiday meetings. So that may be one reason that
we'll
no one
see him at the next meeting.
Came today. But right. I think that Bob had some additional information he was trying to share with us on this.
Yeah, they went over that with the zoning officer today, and I'm pretty sure the permit was issued today for Key Food.
Question for Fred.
Yes.
Hey, Fred, typically how many vendors were there at the farmer's market? I'm thinking 10 or 12.
That's a good estimate for a number, 10 to 12.
10 to 12. Yeah,
so I mean,
small.
I think, you know, if they're going to go to Key Foods, I think that is a good place, because the west side of the parking lot,
right,
next to the insurance place, you know, you could have a couple of booths doubled up there and then going towards the back of the Key Foods.
Well, I can tell you that this has definitely brought about some ill will from the residents, not just in Milford Borough, but in the surrounding areas, because that location at the county parking lot there was ideal. And business owners loved it because of the additional foot traffic they got.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not going to try to analyze why they said no. They've said no, so they're not going to reverse it.
No.
So it's a done deal. But if you guys have been approached, and Key Food is an alternative, and you're willing to go with that, then that's great. Because what we definitely want is to keep a farmer's market local. Absolutely, for sure. So, may not be the ideal spot, but I'm glad Junior offered, and I'm glad that that you as supervisors would be willing to agree to that.
So the only question that I have about that, the only concern that I have about that is, having seen kind of the hoopla that it generates in its former location, my concern is traffic crossing Harford Street at that end of the parking lot where traffic is coming down Route 6 pretty swiftly. And if we do get a substantial amount of foot traffic crossing, if folks are parking at Apple Valley, parking at Gray Towers and walking over for the farmer's market, you know, I would have some concern for their safety at that location. And we, do you have a start date for that?
No, I just overheard it when I was in the office today.
So I think that if we have a start date, if a permit is issued by the zoning officer for that, we might want to follow up with the state police to ask for some enforcement of speeding coming down the hill on the farmer's market days, in particular, to the extent that they possibly can, or particularly in the first few weeks that people aren't expecting to see.
I will say that crosswalk gets used a lot.
Yeah.
And I do see the traffic stop for that crosswalk. I haven't really, I've seen it worse in town than that crosswalk.
The Borough Police sits in Apple Valley all the time.
But they come down the hill really quickly there. And, you know, and the hoopla, there's a lot of foot traffic crossing the street at for the farmer's market, much more than I think you normally see crossing at
Yeah, but you're not going to get as much foot traffic because you got a lot more parking.
And
Key Food than we have.
I agree.
That might be.
I think most of the parking would be on Key Food's property.
Yeah, because.
Right. But you also have the bank is closed on Sundays.
Right.
You will also have
another thing.
You will have that parking lot available.
So is it only Sundays?
Yes. It's only Sundays. It's only Sunday mornings.
Yeah. When
we had it at the Commons. When we had it at the Commons, there was no parking for anybody at the Commons.
Right.
Yeah.
You just had the booth set up. So everybody had to cross Broad Street by Cafe Ren.
Right.
And the museum. And that's, you know, the same thing that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a concern about that. And luckily, no one was ever killed or maimed. So, it's a concern, but I think it can be managed. And like I said, the thing I thought about was like, okay, you've got the Key Food parking lot, but you also have the bank, which is closed on Sundays. And I don't think they're going to tow anybody away. So,
No.
Yeah.
No, they don't. The bank gets used all the time when it's closed.
Yeah.
Well, and if Junior was amenable to it, you know.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
I don't know what Junior could be thinking. It's going to be his business.
Yeah, but it's only for a couple hours.
4 hours, but the people go in and get the things they can't buy there inside before they leave.
Right.
They're already there.
I don't agree at all. But I mean, when we first were wondering about moving here, we spent the weekend here, and as we were leaving to go back to Long Island, we saw that the farmer's market was set up in the grotto. That had no parking. And that's kind of... We said, hey, great, a farmer's market. Everybody loves a farmer's market. But so I think the Key Food site is probably the optimum site available, given that, the borough council president and the head of the farmer's market spent a lot of time walking through the borough. Where could you put this otherwise? And like I said, Atlantic Health, well, they haven't responded. I don't think they're very interested. So Key Food makes the most sense. I think it's a good spot for the farmer's market. So I hope you guys agree with that.
Well, I mean, I agree with Dave. It will be a double-edged sword. It will bring additional traffic to the lot, so they might go inside and buy something else, but it could also be that They buy things from the market instead of buying them inside. Junior will have to be the one who decides how long he wants to continue allowing them to do that, and I'm sure he'll make that business decision as he thinks, you know, it's appropriate. I mean, he's been incredibly generous with the food pantry, et cetera. He's been a very strong community supporter.
He's a great supporter of this community. I mean, that guy has been phenomenal. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Let's move on.
All right.
Very good.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you for the update. Yeah.
So let me just go back. So if application has been made, how long would it take to process giving them a permit to have their farmer's market there?
It might have already been done today. It's just a temporary use permit. So.
I didn't. I didn't receive it yet.
You didn't see it yet? All right. Hey, well.
No, we don't have an application yet.
If he didn't do it today, I know he was on the phone with them, told them what they had to do.
Yeah,
so.
That's what it is. He probably told them what to do.
Great.
So he may have it next week, and who knows? Could happen next week or in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Pretty good.
That's terrific. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, Fred.
Thank you, Fred.
Thanks, Fred. Planning Commission recommendations for hiring a planner. We discussed that at the workshop.
I think you need an official motion.
I'll make a motion. We add. What do you want?
Contingent upon the clarification
of
the rate schedule and the clarification in paragraph 3.
With those two modifications. I will second that motion.
All in favor?
To hire Nancy Sarsonello and sign the contract for Sarsonello Planning.
All in favor, signify by saying aye. I'll second that.
Aye.
Aye.
Good job.
Hey, man, let's go back to paragraph 3. What am I getting straightened out?
As directed by Township.
As directed by Township. Front page.
Right after scope of services, add the words as directed by Township.
Put your little arrow on
mine. Okay, good.
The Penn State Extension Data Center Workshop, has that been circulated to the Planning Commission members?
Yes, I forwarded the link. So maybe I can sign everybody up.
They could sign themselves up if they want to attend, but was there a fee?
No.
No fee.
Okay.
It's the extension.
Now, which one is this? This one at 6 o'clock, or is this
no,
the one from
o'clock.
2 to 4?
2 to 4.
Yeah, what we're talking about, gentlemen, is that they're both the Penn State Extension and Penn Futures, the environmental group, are running data center workshops, both on March 4th at differing times.
Yeah, just a quick question. So as far as that, you have got a couple months left or 4 months left before you have to actually decide something on the data centers or?
Yeah.
Before our moratorium expires.
Right. The Planning Commission is working on a data center ordinance, Fred.
Right.
We've engaged... just now, a new planner who will be brought up to speed. And engineer John Fuller and I and the Planning Commission have gotten through a rough draft of an ordinance for her to look at. So we are heading towards that with the hopes of having a draft ordinance ready for the supervisors.
And in the interim, there are a number of pieces of legislation that are moving
quickly
on data centers in both directions, for and against, on various sides of the aisle. So there's a lot of regulation changes. Before we move on, as long as we're talking about regulations for a moment, I'll just say that I have not looked at it yet, but the governor has put out his housing action plan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watched his budget announcement, I think there's a lot of zoning-oriented emphasis there that I suspect is in the Housing Action Plan. that we're probably going to, I'll probably hear quite a bit about at the PSATS conference, but I expect there'll be some new developments as well on
and
that.
And there is still a push on to have a statewide ordinance for data centers.
I've seen that. I've also seen for housing, you know, the governor was talking about putting into place one clearinghouse where all the ordinances would be available in, at one state location so that you could, so that any person could find out what the regulations are in each area of the state, which would be very interesting and a lot of work to maintain, but...
They used to call it the Pennsylvania Code and Pennsylvania Bulletin.
Yeah, I remember Pennsylvania Bulletin.
Pennsylvania Bulletin is still a thing. It's still a thing.
I just don't tell you.
I think it's still published.
Yeah.
There's talk of a huge data center in western Pennsylvania, though.
Oh, there are more than 20 that are looking at northeast Pennsylvania, Bill.
Yeah.
As close as Jefferson Township, Covington Township, yeah. Archibald, Jessup,
Elephant,
Castleton.
Most of them are
next to the power plant out there, Berwick.
Most of them are looking next to power plants or in already zoned industrial centers.
Or they're looking at locations that are in high proximity to high tension power lines, gas lines. And they're looking at the small nuclear reactor power systems.
Many nuclear plants.
That I think most communities are not aware of how to regulate, address, or handle, which is why I think you're seeing some pushback from the state legislature in some surprising places.
Those, they're going to have to wait until the state comes out with their regulations, because there's no sense in writing a regulation on that until you know what they're going to say. Because we did that, when, if you remember, with bulk fuels.
Yes, I remember tremendously.
You had it. The whole regulation just went away.
Well,
gas compressor stations.
But you can't leave it open in case you get an application. You want to make sure that it's addressed.
You're not going to get an application until they know what they can do from the state level.
I would say that there are a number of places where applications are already pending.
Yep,
pending state
rule. So they got to make a decision.
There is one that is going to be approved, that I understand, but let's see.
Is that the one next to the Susquehanna power plant? Yeah.
You know, we're going to take care of this whole problem. We're going to put the data centers out in space, you know.
I have heard that. That's
heard
a proposal.
Right?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I've been picked to go with one of them.
All right, moving on.
Moving on, picking up the Poconos.
Picking up the Poconos. I would like to make a motion that we contact the PMPB and indicate that we would like to participate in the Pick Up the Poconos event and pick up garbage on Old Wego Turnpike by Gray Towers for that event, and that we close Old Wego Turnpike for that morning.
I'll second that motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 So passed. Other public participation.
Next to fire hydrants.
Hard to long the roads. It just upsets me.
What is it?
All of us,
and a good
Bill.
Person to talk to about that would be Kevin Stroyer, who works on... walks on Fire Tower and Shakopee Road. He can attest to the pigs that apparently live on the road, because there's not that many commercial up through Fire Tower and Shakopee.
Correct.
I don't get it.
We get it on Foster Hill too.
What's that?
McDonald's is just way too close.
Garbage.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah.
Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
Back to the maintenance. can't be much maintenance to a fire hydrant.
We don't know. We asked.
We asked, but they won't tell us.
So in the new paper that comes out tomorrow, there's an article from the Water Authority telling about all the new developments they've done and all the work they did at the place. And in it, they thank the Rotary Club for painting fire hydrants this year. I saw them do it, the one by us they did, and they did one by my house. So, and they don't do that, and I know the big snowstorm, the fire department helped shovel them out.
Right.
They have about a dozen guys around it.
Yeah.
Can we do them in the township yet, clear them?
And no. All the maintenance.
Nope.
Jake used to flush them once or twice a year, you know?
Indeed.
And I don't really see that getting done.
I did see them flushing one hydrant down by the bridge, but I don't know. That's why I've asked for an accounting of what they're spending, because I'm getting the impression that this isn't about actually funding what it's labeled to be, and that's not appropriate for a public entity. And I think we need accountability. Well, we suspect. But they haven't been answering us in writing with that information, Bill, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they got bills, and they got lawyer bills. I mean, come on.
Well, I give everyone the benefit of the doubt.
And the sad part about that, Bill, is that if they had, at that time, asked for contributions to a Friends of the Milford Water Authority fund, I suspect that people would have made donations to help them, because there were a lot of people coming to those hearings who seemed very motivated.
Yeah,
they were motivated.
But to instead label this as a fire hydrant maintenance fee in order to recoup that expense, which is what I suspect they're doing, that's inappropriate.
Well, it almost seems like they're turning it into a black ops operation. I don't get it.
A what?
Black ops.
A black ops.
They're going to come out with their mask.
Yeah, well, they're certainly not answering us in writing, which is something else I don't understand for a public entity. So I do think that we should post the letter on the website.
I agree.
And I do think that any subsequent letters should be copied to the Borough Council as well, as the body that holds them accountable, at least by not reappointing people on the board.
Okay.
And then as a backup, I think we should have ready to go with a letter saying that we'd never be charged for the fire hydrants by Ron Gregory.
Well, I think that whole packet was part of Tony's letter, right?
It was sent, the whole
and
thing
so
was sent over.
And so that's what should
that
be posted
the
on
letter.
The website, the whole
letter.
Packet.
The whole pack.
So there's two, there's actually three letters. There's the first one with all those letters attached, then there's the second one just saying, can I please have a response? And then there's the third one, which is the questions, and then the fourth one is, can I please have a response?
I think that should all be assembled into one packet and posted on the website together.
Yeah.
Milford Water Authority, you know.
I agree.
Township supervisors inquire as to water authority fees. And
okay.
We'll keep ours on our side. You know, if they want to broadcast their side on the bill, we've got to be able to tell the people what our side is.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Nothing else.
Just one last question. I think I missed it. You guys talked about it, but you're not thinking of taking possession of the Constitution Avenue Bridge, right?
No.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll let you take it.
For a buck. No.
Here's what I would say, Fred. Very recently, the third round of approvals was issued for statewide LSA funding, and I didn't even see one for the County of Pike.
No.
Not even one. This past week was the deadline for PennDOT multimodal transportation funding applications, and I wonder how many Pike County filed for their bridge projects. I hope that they have filed some, and I believe that they did file at least one that was in collaboration with another public entity, but I certainly hope that they filed some. The County of Pike, I think, really could use a grant writer pretty desperately.
Sure sounds like it.
And speaking of grants, any feedback on the draft AARP application that
fine
I circulated?
Fine with me.
No feedback. Okay.
Thumbs up.
I did want to request some letters of support for that.
Yes, Loretta.
So if we could ask Senator Baker's office and Representative Olsemer's office and the Pike Area Agency on Aging if they would give us letters of support for that application. And I'm comfortable with giving them the draft application if...
when you drew up?
Yeah.
If you want, I'll send that off to Jeff and Lisa.
That'd be great. Thank you. So Bob is going to take care of that part for Senator Baker's office and Representative Olsemer's office.
Okay.
But if you could contact Area Agency on Aging, that'd be great.
Okay.
Nothing else, I'll make a motion we pay the bills and adjourn.
Second that.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So pass.
Thank you, everyone. Have a nice evening.